أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله كما هو أهله والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين بالقاسم محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين واللعنة دائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى لقاء يوم الدين دعاء إمام صاحب الزمان عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقاعدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعة وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين صلى الله على محمد وآل محمد صلى على محمد If I can request my youths to come a bit nearer to me so we can communicate with each other a bit easier and the people would not be looked that is scattered صلى الله على محمد وآل محمد صلى على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد Thank you. أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد وقوله الحق وهو أصدق الصادقين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأقم وجهك للدين حنيفا فطرة الله الذي فطر الناس عليها صلوة على محمد وآل محمد Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us on the fitrah and on the nature of Islam. And this is the nature which we are born with. And this is the nature which can never ever be changed or destroyed. No matter how bad people become, ulama, the scholar, they say, if people are going turning away from their nature, they can turn away themselves from nature, but they can't kill the voice of nature. They can reduce the voice of nature. Their example is like putting a cushion on the person's mouth who is shouting. His voice will be reduced all the way down, but his voice will not finish at all. In the same way, nature is all the time with us. Probably we can reduce the voice of nature, but the nature will keep telling us. Why? Because we are created with that thing. That thing is unavoidable and inevitable. It will be all the time in us. And one of the things that people divides people into two categories is people are either optimistic or they are pessimistic. There are some people optimistic who are positively thinking about the things, who look at the world positively, who look at the world in the nice way, while there are other people, other category of people, they are pessimistic, they look at everything negatively. They, instead of finding good things from bad thing, they find bad thing from good thing. But we are being told that no matter how bad a situation, try to find a good thing from that bad situation. These are the clever people who can find good things from bad condition, from bad situation. Why there are divorce happening, why people are fighting with each other, why husband and wife are fighting with each other, why brothers have grudge between each other, why mu'mineens have hatred between each other, why people are not talking to each other for several months. Why? Because of this same negativity. They are thinking this was a situation while they are guessing and making a story out of their guess. And then in the end, they are coming to know that it was not something what I was thinking. And if we remove this negativity, our life will change. And this, it has a direct link with our health as well. Not only religion, we have a concept of husnul dhann, thinking positively about everything, about your Lord, about your other people, about your fellow Muslim brother. Not only is it related to Islam, rather nowadays, modern psychology is also telling. There was after 1997, new field established in universities called psychoneuroimmunology. Psycho for psychology, neuro for your nervous system, and immunology, your immunity system. The research came and saying that all of our thoughts have direct link on our health. If you are thinking positively, those people who think positively, they will live better life, healthier life. Those people who are thinking negatively, they will have illnesses. Their immune system will be weaker compared to the positive thinker. When we are thinking positively, our immunity system is getting stronger. We are having a stronger white blood cell. But when we are thinking negatively, our immunity system will go low and strong, get weaker, and we will get ill quicker. So our thinking has direct link on our health. You know, let me give you an example in this area. For example, those people who are positive, how they look at the things, and those people who are negative, how they look at the thing. For example, if a scholar comes and he recites a hadith or a narration, probably you didn't heard that narration before, and this was a new narration for you. If you are a positive person, you might come to a scholar or anybody else, you will be saying, that's good. That was a new thing I've heard, mashallah. That it increased my knowledge. It was a very good new thing I've heard. I want to know the reference, that's very good. And he gets a reference and he was very happy. But if he was a negative person, he's not going to say, that's good I heard. He's going to say, Maulana, where are you bringing all these new things from? I never heard that, you know, at all. You never heard that. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist, you know. You are not ilm-e kul. You don't have all the knowledge of Islam in your mind. You know, when people listen, negative people, when they listen something, oh, I've been coming since Majalis since 20 years, 10 years. Something new, that's new thing. I never heard that. You know, you never heard that. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So if we are positive, we will say, Alhamdulillah, my ilm has increased. My knowledge has increased. If we are negative people, we are going to be saying, oh, no, these are new things. Because I didn't hear that before, it means it doesn't exist. We should be asking, Alhamdulillah, it's good. We should be coming and knowing each other and asking about these questions. Question is good, but negative people, they don't have question. Rather, they come, they criticize. That's different between question and criticize. We should question each other. MashaAllah, that's good, very good. But criticize it different because we are criticize other to test his knowledge. We question other to increase our knowledge. That's the difference. We should question to increase our knowledge, not to test the other person's knowledge. So if we are positive, this is how we are be working. But if we are negative, we'll work totally different. Like the example of the boy who was going with his father in a mountainous area. His foot slipped, he fell down, and he says, ouch. Because he was in a mountainous area, the voices started echoing, ouch, 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 ouch. The child was surprised, where this voice is coming from. Then he says, who are you? He heard the voice of, who are you, who are you, who are you? The child was angry. You coward! Hear the voice of, you coward, you coward, you coward. He says to father, dad, who is he? Who is imitating me? Dad says, can you shout with a loud sound saying, you are a hero? He did that. He did that. Who are you? Are a hero. Hear the voice repeating, you are a hero, you are a hero. His dad says, you know, this is the mountain's reflection, but actually it's a reflection of life. If you say something and think something good about other, you will receive good. If you think bad about other, you will receive bad as well. Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So, if you are a positive person, we should have control on our emotion and on our negativity. That I'm a negative person or I'm a positive person. If I'm a negative person, I can't think positively. What should I do? We should start from controlling on our emotions. Because emotions, negativity is a type of emotions. We should start controlling and managing our emotion. We shouldn't let our emotion manage us. We should manage and control our emotion by ourselves. And that is the start of it. This is why Quran is saying, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ فَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. Remember, you remind yourself, keep reminding yourself, because reminding gives you benefit. That's why we have something called, in psychology, self-talk. Previously, you know, a long time ago, when people used to talk with themselves, they used to be called crazy or mad or psyche. But now they are saying it's good to talk with yourself. That what is the same thing what Quran is saying, remind yourself. فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ فَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. Keep reminding yourself. And why we gather here again and again, over and over, majlis one after the other, one after the other. Why? To remind ourselves. But remember, this outer reminder who is sitting on the pulpit is not going to give you any benefit if there is not any reminder inside. There should be a reminder from inside, which should be reminding us over and over. Ali ibn Abi Talib says there are three types of illnesses we have in the world. The first type of illness is the illness of body. We should cure all of our illnesses of body. And the second type of illnesses we have, the illness of poverty. Poverty, poor people sometimes go and become kafir because of this illness. It's a type of illness. But the third type and the most dangerous type of illness, according to our first Imam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, is saying that is the illness of soul. If you are not able to control and treat this illness, it will destroy your this world and your hereafter as well. In the same way, it is wajib for us to go to the doctor to treat our illnesses of body. In the same way, it is wajib for us to go to the doctors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have sent 124,000 doctors and 12 imam, 14 masumis are all doctors. To do what? To cure the illnesses of our souls. We should control on our emotions and start treating ourselves from inside. And then outer advice and suggestion will be working on us. If you are not correcting us from inside, the outer one is not going to be working at all. This is the first step we should be taking for it. This is the reason Quran is giving so much attention on sense of control. All the time Quran is saying, ittaqullah, ittaqullah, ittaqullah. What is ittaqullah? It's to create your sense of control. Control on your emotions, control on your thinking, control on your negativity. This is what sense of control is telling us. How if we don't have the sense of control, we are not going to be successful in this world nor in hereafter. Why people are unhappy in the world? Why some people are very happy in the world? Modern psychology and Quran and Islam is saying also the same thing. Why some people are happy and while others are not? What's the reason? The reason is those people who are happy, they have internal locus of control. Those who are unhappy, they have external locus of control. They are being controlled by some other factor. Don't let other factor control you and make you angry, make you negative, make you give you hatred, give you grudge. If there is an external factor, some people are controlled by money. The locus of control is money. Some people, their locus of control is wealth. Some people, their locus of control is a house and property. Some people, their locus of control is house. Some people, their locus of control is desire. Some people, their locus of control is their belly. Some people, their locus of control is their all of desire, what they want to eat. That's their locus of control. These are all external locus of control. Our locus of control should be internal, not external. You know, like the person when he came to a scholar, it was the story of Ayatollah Naraqi. There was a fan, great fan of Ayatollah Naraqi. He comes to Ayatollah Naraqi because he read his book, Mi'raj al-Sa'ada, and his life was totally changed. Before, he was a materialistic person. When he read that book, he left all the world. He left his business. He left his shop. Now he was turned into a very poor person. He had nothing, just a small bowl. And he used to keep everything in his big bowl, not a small. He used to keep everything in his big bowl, and he used to carry that in his bag. Everything, his sajdiga, his tasbih, his food, his clothes, his dress. Everything was that in that big bowl. And once he decided to go and meet that guy who has changed his life, meet that Ayatollah who has changed his life, he comes to the Qum. And when he saw Ayatollah, he had a very big madrasa and all the money of Qum's coming and going. He was surprised. What type of Ayatollah he is? He's writing something in his book and he's doing some other thing in his practical life. Because of him, I left my job, I left my house, I left everything. I turned into a very poor beggar type person. And him, look at it, he has a luxurious life. What type of person he is? But this Ayatollah, he had that karama. He knew the mentality of the people. He knew what is he thinking about. He comes to him, salam alaikum wa alaikum salam. How are you? I'm good. What's your plan? What are you doing? You have come to Qum. What's your next plan? He said, my next plan is I'm going to go to Karbala. So Ayatollah Naraq, he said, oh really? You want to go to Karbala? I want to go to Karbala as well. Let's go together. He said, really? Yeah. He said, I'm leaving now. The poor person says, I'm leaving now. He says, I'll be leaving now as well. Just give me a time. Let me go and put on my slippers and we'll leave now. He said, are you sure you're going to be leaving now? Yes, you have this mother's and everything, all the system, you're going to leave that. Yes, I'm going to leave that right now and we'll go together to Karbala. They both went to Karbala and they were about to get near to Karbala at that time. This old man remembered, oh my God, Malana, there's an emergency situation. What's the amazing situation? I left the bowl in your mother's, actually. We have to go back and bring that bowl. Maulana said, come on, man, we are near Karbala, and you want to take me back and pick up that bowl? Come on, forget about it, we'll come back and we'll pick up the bowl. No, Maulana, I want to take that bowl of mine. Maulana said, I'll get you a new bowl from Karbala, forget about that. We have to go to Imam Hussein Ziyarah. He sits there. No, Maulana, I can't go there, my bowl is there. At that time, Ayatollah Naraqi understood this is the time to guide him. He told him, Ayatollah Naraqi, you don't have anything. You just have an ordinary bowl, but that bowl is controlling your entire life. I have such a big building of madrasa, money, homes, wealth, everything, but they are not controlling me. As you told me to go to Karbala, I left entire wealth and money. I went to Karbala. Exactly in the same way, when the angel of death will come and tell me, return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not going to say to him, I have bowls, I have money, I have wealth. I will go happily toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because this alim, this scholar's locus of control was internal. He had many things. Earning money is not bad. But don't let the money to control you. Don't let the wealth to control you. You are not going to be free. Human being is created free. And he has been told to live free. Freedom is our birthright. If something is controlling our life, it's a big threat to our freedom. Allah is saying, Imam Ali is saying, Ahlul Bayt are teaching us, you have been created a free man. Live free, man. We listen these words of Imam al-Hussein in Masaib. But remember, this is a big lesson. We don't take the lesson, sometimes we just cry. Take the lesson from every tragedies of Hussein and Ahlul Bayt. When Imam Hussein, it was the final moment of his life. He was in last sujood. Enemies were not coming near to him. They were afraid whether Hussein is alive or dead. At that time, Shimr said, do you want to know Hussein is alive or he dead? Shout with a loud sound, attack to the tent. At that time, when Hussein heard this, he got up and he said this sentence. And I just want to quote this sentence of Hussein. He didn't had the power and energy, his blood was out of the body, but he gathers all of his entire energy and he stands up on his knee and he looks at the soldier and tells the soldier, oh soldier, if you don't have the religion, if you don't have Islam, if you don't believe in God, if you don't believe in religion, if you don't believe in anything, at least be a free man. At least be a free man. You don't believe in any faith, just be a free man. That's your birthright. You should be getting that. You shouldn't be forgetting your birthright, which is your freedom. And if you think freely, and if nothing is controlling our life, we will think positively like the holy Zainab used to think. When she came to Kufa, when Ibn Ziyad told her, didn't you see how God has done to your God, how God did to your family, how your family is turned into worse situation? At that time, Lady Zainab is saying, Ma ra'aytu illa jamila. I didn't see anything but beauty. What beauty? She has lost her 72 flower. She has lost her two beloved son. She has lost brother like Abbas and Hussein, another brother. She has lost nephews like Ali Akbar and Ali Asghar and Qasim. But still she's saying, I didn't see anything but beauty. What she's thinking about it? She told us how to think negatively in the world. Situation. This is why Quran is saying, "Wala khawfun alayhim wala hum yahzanun." The people, mu'mineen, are the one who are now, who don't have fear, who are not upset anytime. What type of upset Allah is talking about? What type of fear Allah is talking about? Allah is talking about this fear, that material fear is not there. Fear of Allah, spiritual fear is there. But mu'mineen, they don't have the material fear. So don't let anything control your life. Why we are not happy? Because we are making our happiness conditional. How is that? For example, I will be happy if I get my degree. I will be happy if I get married to that girl. I will be happy if I get married to that boy. I will be happy if I get $1 million. I will be happy if I get a car. I will be happy if I get a house. Why all these ifs are coming? You are not getting. Happiness is already there, created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you. But you are limiting, you are making a hindrance between you and the happiness. By which? By the word if. The happiness is already there. You can get and grab it. But when you are making if, these ifs will never finish. Like that friend, a friend says to his friend, are you happy? He says, no, let me get my degree, then I will be happy. He got his degree. The friend says, are you happy? He said, no, let me get married, I'll be happy. He got married, are you happy? No, let me get a house, I'll be happy. He got a house, are you happy? No, let me have some kids, actually. I don't want to die without kids. He got kids, are you happy? Let me have some good, let me have the educations of the kids done. Let them get degree, then I'm retired, then I'm happy. He got retired. In the end, his friend comes to him, my brother, are you happy now? He says, no, I'm not happy. He said, yes, now your bones are shivering. Your hairs have gone white. You got old, you didn't get happiness. Why? Because you were restricting the happiness by the word if. The happiness was already there. You were restricting yourself that I will get after this. No, just be happy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this is why iman has two flies, two wings. Iman, one is shukr, another one is sabr. And shukr is same thing. If we think positively, we will be all the time shakir to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter which situation I am in. No matter where I am, just change your thinking, your life will be changed. Let me give you an example how our imagination works, how our thinking power works. For example, you went out to your home, you went and you went in the kitchen and you opened the fridge and you saw a yellow lemon was in the fridge. You picked up the yellow, big, juicy lemon. You picked up a plate and you put the lemon on the plate and you pick up a knife and you cut the knife. And now you imagine after cutting this juicy lemon, you squeeze the lemon in your mouth. If you really imagine it, that you are squeezing a juicy lemon in your mouth and the sour drops of lemon are being dropped in your mouth on your tongue. When you imagine about it, immediately there will be saliva under your tongue. There will be a water, a spit or saliva under your tongue. Where did this water or saliva come from? There's no real lemon here. We are listening, I'm on pulpit and you are listening to the majlis. Where is the lemon here? If you think about it, you feel the saliva. The muscle will show the reaction. Where did it show? You probably have experienced this experience right now. Where did this lemon come from? Just imagination. If you are thinking, you are actually, this muscles are being deceived by you. And they're showing the same reaction which they should be showing when you're eating lemon. But actually you're not eating lemon there. There is no lemon in there. When you change your imagination, when you change your thinking has such a great power, you can change your entire life. Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. But we are not ready to change our lives. How we can change our life? By changing our thinking. This is why when Prophet Jesus asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is gonna be my neighbor in paradise in hereafter? Hazrat Isa was given the address of a lady. This lady will be your neighbor in hereafter. Prophet Isa goes and asks the address and he gets to a place where that lady was laying down. Prophet Jesus was shocked after looking at her. The lady, she didn't have two eyes. She didn't have two legs. She lacked two hands. She was 100% handicapped lady. And she was not able to see Prophet Jesus. Prophet Jesus says, As-salamu alayki, peace be upon you. The lady says, Wa alayka salam ya ruhullah. Oh Jesus, peace be upon you. She was able to see Jesus. Jesus says, but when Jesus came, Jesus heard a word of this lady. She was speaking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What she was saying? She was saying, Ya Allah, all those blessings that you have provided me, you have not provided to any person in the planet. Jesus was surprised. When he said, Salaam alaikum wa alaikum as-salam, Jesus asked her, what kind of blessing you have been given by Allah? Most important things are the eyes. You don't have eyes. Legs, you don't have legs. You don't have hands. You are just a piece of flesh on the ground. You can't remove a fly from your mouth, from your face. You are in such a worse situation. How you are saying Allah has given you those blessings which Allah didn't give to any person in the planet? The lady says, oh Jesus, remember Allah did not give me those organs which people commit sins with. And Allah has given me a clean heart and a tongue. And in the clean heart, He has placed His love in it. And with the tongue, I communicate and talk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the best blessing I receive. I mean, the first thing, He have deprived you from sin. And second thing, He has given me His recognition. We are not thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are born in a Muslim family and then in a Shia family where we listen Ali and Hussein and Rasul all the time. If we think as from those people who find the path of Ahlul Bayt after 40, after 50, when they get old, when they are mature. Alhamdulillah, from childhood we have this. recognition of Allah, not only Allah, the special saints of Allah, awliyaullah. We have their recognition, but we are not thankful about all these things. If you think positively, we have been given so many blessings by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we are not thinking. If we change our way of looking at the life, our life will totally change. This is why there's a hadith saying, Mu'min's quality is this, that he all the time says, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every situation, no matter where I am, in good, bad, best, worst, bad, better, no matter where I am thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ala kulli hal, in every position. You know, like there was a king, he had an advisor, a wazir, who had this same habit, that Islamic habit. Whatever used to happen, he used to say, that's good. There might be some wisdom behind it. This was his habit all the time. Any incident took place, good or bad, he used to say, that's good. There might be some wisdom behind it. Something happened, he used to say, that's good. There might be some wisdom behind it. Once what happened, this wazir, this actually advisor, and this king, they went for hunting. And in the old time, they used to use a very long pistol or rifle, what they call it, for hunting. And he was using that type of thing to kill some enemy. And because he was now, he didn't know how to use it, he lost his thumb. His thumb came out of his hand and he was crying, he was bleeding, and he was shouting, oh, my thumb, I'm dying. The advisor says, that's good, you know, that's good. There might be some wisdom behind it. He became angry. What are you talking about? I lost my thumb and you're saying that's good. There might be some wisdom about it. Get lost. And he says to the soldier, just take him to the prison and throw him in the prison. The person was thrown in the prison. The best advisor was thrown in the prison. And several months he was there. After a few months, this king, he goes for hunting by himself because the wazir was not there. The advisor was not there. He goes by his own. And he was caught by some people, some cannibal tribe, you know, those who eat animals. And when they saw this is a fat, good king, we can make a good karai, whatever, chicken, whatever good thing by this good thing. Probably if they catch me, they might be making just soup out of me, you know. And if you get, alhamdulillah, mashallah, may Allah give you sihat and may Allah give you health. So they might catch you, they might be good, it will probably eat for them. When they caught this king, they say, oh, that's a good fat king, we can catch him and we can have a good meat today. But when they were about them and they bring saucepan and fire and everything and all those things, when they saw this, oh my God, this king hasn't got the thumb. He's already been eaten by somebody. We don't eat eaten things. He's leftover, actually. We don't eat leftover things of other. They left him alone. This man, king, ran away all the way till his palace. He went straight away in the prison. And he says to his friend, you were right. Then that's good. There might be some wisdom behind it. Actually, I lost my thumb several months ago. And I was saved after several months. You were right. I'm sorry that I've thrown you in the jail. The wazir says again, that's good. There might be some wisdom behind it. He said, where is saying that again? He says, if you didn't throw me in the prison, I would have gone with you for hunting. They would have left you and they would have eaten me instead of you. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. If you start thinking positively in every situation, what Islam is telling us, husn al-zan, if you are saying alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal all the time, we will have a happy life, we will have a successful life, we will not going to be have a depression and stress in our life. Sometime negative thinking is not only good for your health, sometimes negative thinking can destroy the community entirely, can destroy the human life entirely, can destroy some, ruin somebody's life entirely. Like the incident of Sheikh Hadi. Sheikh Hadi was a person living in Mashhad. He was a very good scholar in one of the areas of Mashhad in city. May Allah give you tawfiq to go and do the ziyarah of our 8th Imam and Karbala and rest of the ziyarat. So in this city, in Mashhad, this scholar, he used to live in an area and everybody respected him. Since last 20 years, he served that community. And community loved him also. Whenever they used to have the community have to have any problem, they used to straight come to Sheikh Hadi and he used to resolve the problem. And he had the final decision in the community. And they, whenever a boy used to find a girl, he used to come and get some advice and suggestion from him. And he used to introduce a girl and then they used to get married. In the same way, when the girl wants to find a boy, they used to come to the Molana and he used to guide them and they used to get married. Means everything, he was like a family member to them. He used to sort out their problem, he used to fix their problem, social problem, anything they used to have, he was there in service. And he served them for 20 years. One of his fans actually says this story. I was a very good fan of Sheikh Hadi. Once I went to the mosque to pray namaz jama'ah. When I entered the mosque, I remembered I didn't do the wudu. I went to the toilet to do wudu. When I was doing wudu, I saw Sheikh Hadi coming out of the toilet. And he didn't do wudu. I was surprised. Why didn't he do wudu? I thought probably he might be going upstairs and going to do wudu somewhere else. I followed him. No, he didn't do wudu upstairs. I followed him. He went in the mosque. Oh my God. He went straight in mihrab and started leading the prayer. I thought, what type of Maulana is he? Since 20 years, we used to think him a pious person, but he's leading people after doing toilet, not doing wudu, and he's leading namaz jama'ah, and all of our namazes are gone. They are all gone in vain. And he says, I went to one of my best friends, and I told him, I saw this. He was not able to believe him, because this person was like a saint for all the community. He said, did you see that? Yes, I saw it. I'm eyewitness. I saw him leaving the toilet, not doing the wuzu and leading the prayer. He might be doing every day that. This is probably his routine, you know? Then this little thing goes on. The news was spreading day after day. It spread it till the extent that we started saying, is he really alim or is he a fake alim? And it went to the extreme that we started saying, is he really a Muslim or is he an agent of some intelligence agency of foreign country? Who is he? It went all the way till the extreme that his wife left him. His kids left him. He was alone. After 2 months, he left our city and he was disappeared. I have no idea where was he. We were very happy that we are successful in our campaign, that this person has gone. Alhamdulillah, we are very happy. And now we will have a new alim. We wrote a letter to Hauza that we don't have any scholar at our mosque. Please send a new scholar for us. A young scholar came, even though he was not able to replace him. But all right, the situation were back to normal and we were having the normal programs that we used to have normally. And after 2-3 years, I went to Hajj. This man says, I went to Hajj. I was ill because normally people get ill, cough and all these things in Hajj. I was ill there. I went to the clinic which was near to Baitul Haram. I went to Masjidul Haram. I went to the clinic. I told the doctor, I'm ill. He says, you need some antibiotic injection. I told him, I'm going to be having the injection on my shoulder or on my back. He said, you will have it on your back. I had the injection on my backside and he put some elastoplaster on my back, and because I was wearing ihram, he didn't want to make my ihram najis. That's why he put some elastoplaster, and I went to the clinic. Now I was deciding to go to Masjidul Haram, but I remembered before going to Masjidul Haram, it's better to go to the toilet and remove this elastoplaster. There might be some little drop of blood in there. I don't want the blood to be on my body while I'm going to Kaabatullah. So I went to the toilet and I removed the elastoplaster. I didn't use the bathroom. I washed my body and I came out of the toilet. When I came out of the toilet, all the people were looking at me. Why this person is not doing wudu? And I noticed them. At that time, I remember Sheikh Hadi. I ruined his life. Maybe his case was the same. He went in the toilet to remove some elastoplaster. I blamed him that he was not doing wudu. My brain was exploding at that time. My Hajj was totally destroyed. I was feeling dizzy that I was falling down on the ground. That did this destroy the person's life, a most innocent person's life. My Hajj was entire Hajj. I was just thinking about Sheikh Hadi. When I returned to Mashhad, I searched the friends of Sheikh Hadi. Somebody told me there's a best friend of Sheikh Hadi. He has a shop in the old market of Mashhad. I went there and I met him. Do you have any idea about Sheikh Hadi? He said, yes. When he was leaving last day, when he was leaving Mashhad, he told me, I'm going to Karbala. I will spend my rest of life there. I went to the toilet to remove the elastoplaster. These people who I served for entire life, they used to call me at 2 o'clock of night. I used to go and solve their problem. I used to go solve their social problem. I used to serve them because I wanted some people to be religious. I served them purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what result they gave me, they didn't even bother to come to me and ask me what was the case. They spread the rumor against me. My life was ruined and destroyed. My kids and wife also left me. I don't have any life. I will go and spend my rest of my life to Karbala near my Imam al-Hussein. This person says, the fan of Sheikh Hadi. I went to Karbala several times. I've searched every street in Karbala. Is there anybody called Sheikh Hadi living there? But there was no clue of him. Any Zaire who goes to Karbala, I give him some money. Please take this money from me. Just go and search person called Sheikh Hadi. I ruined his life. On the day of Qiyamah, he will stop me. I may go and burn the fire in the fire of hell because of him. Because I've destroyed. Where did it all started from? It just started from one thought. one bad negative thought which he was thinking. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Salawat again. Muhammad, wa'ajjil. So when there is one negative thought can destroy human's life. This poor innocent person, he had no sin, but his life was destroyed because of just one person. Actually, he was a fan of him. This is why there's a beautiful sentence of Imam al-Khomeini. Imam al-Khomeini says, the loss religion has faced by the crazy friends is more than the loss which religion faced from the dangerous enemies. Dangerous enemies did not destroy the religion that much as the crazy friends have destroyed the religion. He was a crazy friend of religion. He was thinking, I'm doing something qurbatan ilallah, that I'm actually throwing a bad person away from the mosque. He was doing something to get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he was crazy friends of the religion who have destroyed the religion more than the dangerous enemies. We shouldn't be the simple Shia. Shia should be clever. Shia should be a person who should be using his mind, his mental ability more than anybody else. We shouldn't be thinking negatively about anything. So how we can remove this negativity? One of the ways to remove negativity is stop justifying our actions. If you are a negative person, we will all the time justify our action. What I'm doing is right. What I'm doing, it can't be wrong, because I all the time justify what I'm doing. Stop justifying. Shaitan was the one who used to justify his action. When Allah told him, why didn't you do sajda to Adam? He says, Rabbi bima aghwaytani. Ya Allah, you misguided me. If you didn't tell me to prostrate Adam, I would have prostrated you for entire life. I would have prostrated you 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, sajda of yours wish. I want one sajda of my wish. He was justifying his action. Allah was saying, if you want to do the sajda, do it according to your Lord's wish, not according to our wish. Sometimes we do ibadah, we think that I like this way, I will do it this way. No, you don't like. It's something to do with Allah likes it or not. We shouldn't be justifying our action, first of all. You know, in family life, husband and wife are, you know, fighting with each other. Why? Because they justify their actions, you know. I was right. The husband is saying, I was right. The wife is saying, I was right, you know. Like there was a woman comes to Maulana and he said, Maulana, my husband is telling me to do hijab. My mother never used to do hijab. My grandmother never used to do hijab. My grand-grandmother never used to do hijab. How he expects me to do hijab, you know. She was justifying her action because in our lineage, we never do hijab. So we are not going to be doing hijab anymore. You know, some people, they all the time justify their action. Justifying is Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab's quality. Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl, when Prophet was telling them, come toward Islam, what they used to say, Quran is quoting this sentence of them. Aba'uhum fahum ghafilun. They used to say, how can we leave the religion that our parents used to follow? We can't leave that. We will never ever leave the religion our parents follow. So never ever blindly follow your parents. If your parents are doing something good, all right, learn from them. But never ever follow them blindly. Ask them the question, the reason, the philosophy, the logic behind everything. This is what Islam is telling you, you know. Don't be like that woman. You know, there was a husband. There was a man when his wife used to cook some fish for him. She all the time used to cut the tail of the fish. And he was surprised. Why do you cut the tail of the fish all the time? It's a waste of money. There's a little bit of meat in the tail as well. She says, I don't know. My mother used to do that. I do that as well. He goes to his mother-in-law and asks her, why do you cut the tail of the fish? It's just waste of money, you know. There's a little bit meat in there. She says, I don't know. My mother used to do that. I used to do that as well. Unfortunately, his mother of his mother-in-law was alive. And he went to the mother of his mother-in-law and he asked her, what is the reason you cut the tail of the fish? You throw it. It's a waste of money. There's some meat in it. She says, you know, my son in the old time used to have a small plates and small ovens. So this fish never used to fit in the oven. So I used to cut it. Nowadays, you have very big ovens and very big plates. You don't really have to follow them. Follow me. Why they were following their mother or grandmother? Because they were following her blindly. We shouldn't be following anybody blindly. We should follow somebody with logic, and that's what Islam is telling us. Follow people with 100% logic. Use your mind and brain. Number one, to remove negativity, stop justifying your action. Think negatively about yourself. Thinking positively about others, but negativity is good for yourself, because if you're going to be thinking negatively about yourself on and on, you're not going to develop. You're not going to do any kind of progress. Thinking negatively about yourself is good, but thinking negatively about others and the rest of the world is bad. So the first thing is stop justifying. And the second thing is stop blaming others. I was bad because of my parents. I was bad because of the environment. I was bad because of the friends. You know, you could have changed your friend. You shouldn't be obeying your parents when they are telling you something haram. You shouldn't be obeying your friends when they are telling you something haram. In the Qiyamah, when a sinful boy will be brought, and Allah will ask him, why did you do this sin? He's going to be saying, my environment was bad. Allah will bring Joseph in front of him. Was your environment worse than Joseph? Were you as good as looking as Joseph that the entire women of the Misr and entire women of the Egypt were admirers of Yusuf, and they were locking the door and pulling him toward the adultery, but he was not doing the sin? Were you in that situation, or was the situation were much more easier than Yusuf? Don't blame on the environment. I'm not saying environment is not affecting. Environment has a very, very bad and big effect on human life. That's why we all the time encourage and we say it's wajib in these countries, in these environments, to send your kids to Muslim school. Alhamdulillah, we have one here and we have rest others as well. It's wajib for our kids because environment is very much effective. It affects you because environment, people are not that strong to counter the environment. People are not strong to go against the water stream. They can't swim against the water stream. They can't swim against the society stream. But still, bad environment cannot be the cause, cannot be the excuse to do sin. Don't blame environment or anything if you want to remove the negativity. And the third thing, try to forgive people. If you are able to forgive others, Allah is saying, oh people, do you want me to forgive you all? Allah, Ya Allah, we have come here. We recite Dua, Al-Kumayt, and all these to be forgiven. Allah is saying, Oh people, do you want me to forgive you? I will forgive you. But remember, you forgive my creature, I will forgive you as well. You forgive others, Allah will forgive you. If we don't know how to forgive others, we'll not be able to do that. And in short, these are the three main things that we can do. We should stop justifying our action. We should stop blaming other people. And we should start actually forgiving others. So as I told you, we should be thinking negatively about ourselves. Like that person in the nation of Prophet Moses. Prophet Moses asked from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the worst person in my nation? Prophet Moses. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the first person you're going to be looking at next morning, he's the worst person in your nation. Prophet Moses saw a person was going from the street. A little 6-7 years old boy was on his shoulder and he went from in front of Moses. Moses understood, oh, he's the worst person of my nation. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the best person of my nation? Allah says, at the evening, the first person who will be going from in front of you, he's the best person of the nation. He saw at the evening, the same guy was returning with his son on his shoulder. And he was surprised. The best person of my nation is the same guy. The worst person of my nation is the same guy. How comes that? Both of these things can't get together. He asked from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the reason? Allah says, Moses, when he was going, he was the worst person. His son was on his shoulder. His son asks him, what is the biggest thing in the world? He says, biggest thing in the world is forest, jungle. His son says him, what is bigger than jungle and forest? He says, mountain are bigger. His son says him, what is bigger than mountain? He says, the skies are bigger. His son says him, what is bigger than the sky? He says, my sins are bigger than the skies. And his eyes were filled up of tears. At that time, his son says, what is bigger than your sins? He says, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bigger than my sin. When Allah saw that beautiful way of mentioning his mercy, he turned the worst person into best person. How? He had the maximum sin. His maximum sins were turned into good things. His sins were turned into good deeds by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We think about ourselves negatively and about others positively. As I mentioned in the beginning, if you want to see the positivity, learn from Ahlul Bayt. Learn from those great personality who are all the time there to help you. There was a Alim, he says, I went to give speeches in one of the cities of Iran, and there was a 10-day majalis there. When I was delivering majalis, the person who invited me, he was an Arab from Emirates, a wealthy billionaire. He invited me and he told me, Maulana, there is a request. If you can do it, please. What is your request? For 10 days of Muharram, please recite the Masaib of Holy Lady Fatimatu Zahra every night. He says, normally people don't, but because it's your request, I will try to give some touch of Lady Fatimatu Zahra in every Masaib. He says, after finishing Masaib, we were sitting and we were eating food. I asked from him, what is the reason that you asked me to recite Masaib of the Queen of Both Worlds every night? He says, Maulana, I used to live in Emirates. I was a very wealthy person as I am now. And alhamdulillah, I got married. Alhamdulillah, God gave me a very beautiful little daughter. My daughter was 4 or 5 years old. I loved her so much that whenever I used to go to the job, I used to call my wife. How is my daughter? She used to say, she's okay. I used to all the time call several times a day. Once my wife called me that she told me, you know, your daughter is in a really very bad situation. I rushed toward I had no idea what to do. I sat in the car, I rushed toward the house, and I came to know that my daughter has eaten one little coin, an iron metal coin, and the coin is stuck in her throat, and she's not able to talk to me. Now I had no idea what to do. I immediately got a chartered plane, and I went to the doctors here in Emirates, but they said this operation should be done in France or London, whatever you want to go. I got a chartered aeroplane. I went to France. I landed there with my daughter. I went straight away to the hospital. I told the nurse and doctor to take care of them. The nurse came after a while. After checkup, doctor told me that your daughter will have an operation. But remember, this operation is very dangerous. If it will be successful, that's good. But even if it's successful, the operation, your daughter will not be able to speak for the rest of her life. When I heard this, I just fell down on the ground, not even on the chair, in the lobby of the hospital. I had nothing to say. I had no idea what to do. I was not Shia at that time, this person says. I was not Shia at that time. I was follower of some other school of thought. But I remembered Prophet at that time. And I probably turned toward Medina and I said, oh Prophet, you had a daughter called Fatimatu Zahra Salamullahi Alayha. I had a little daughter. I love her so much. I've heard from my other scholar. They told me you loved your daughter so much that when she used to come toward you, you used to stand up and kiss her hand. I love my daughter. Rasulullah, if your daughter Fatimatu Zahra treats my daughter, I will be the slave of Zahra for the rest of my life. This person says, when I was speaking with Prophet and Lady Fatimatu Zahra, I saw the nurse coming and smiling toward me, and she says, Jesus and Mary have shown their miracle. The coin has come out of the mouth by itself. I thought in my heart it was not Mary and Jesus. It was the Queen of Jesus and Queen of Mary, Lady Fatimatu Zahra. I went to meet my daughter. I went inside. My daughter was crying extremely. I told her what happened. My daughter told me, I saw a lady wearing black dress. She comes to me and he puts her hand on my back, the coin comes out of my mouth, and she told me before leaving, my father loved me so much, but nation didn't be loyal, nation was not loyal to me. This is why this lady says, Sabbat alayya masaibun, law anna sabbat ala layali. My dad, Rasulullah, I have faced so many tragedies. If these tragedies were faced by the days would have turned into nights. If these tragedies were faced by the mountain would have turned into powder. Allah, Allah, watch Lady Fatimatu Zahra, tragedy she has faced. This is the reason these majalis we are coming.
We are coming to give condolence to the heart of Lady Zainab and Lady Fatima Zahra. Once a person came to Imam Sajjad and he says, "Oh Imam, I want to invite you to the wedding ceremony of my son." Imam Sajjad says, "After the incident of Karbala, we have left going to any wedding ceremony. We don't go on any happy occasion." This mom goes back, and after a few days, he comes to Imam and he says, "Mola, I've arranged my son's wedding ceremony in a way. There will be one majlis and masaib in the wedding as well." When Imam heard this, he says, "Where are you going to have the program? I will be coming to your place." Imam comes this moment, says, "I made a big, good, nice chair for Imam to sit there as giving respect to Imam." Imam came and sat there. When we started reading Masaib, we were crying so much that we didn't have any idea where Imam was. After finishing Masaib, we saw Imam was not in the place where he was sitting. We came out of the door, we saw the place where people were taking off her shoes. Imam Zainul Abidin was sitting there and shedding tears. I asked from Imam, "Mola, why are you sitting here?" Imam says in a sign indirectly to the man, "My mother Fatima Zahra was in majlis as a sign to her respect. I came and I sat near the shoes. Let's say salam together to Hussein. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Assalamu alayka ya ibn Rasulillah. Assalamu alayka ya ibn Amir al-Mu'minin. Assalamu alayka ya ibn Fatimata Sayyidati Nisa'il Alameen. Assalamu ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn wa ala awladin wa ala ashabin Husayn mola teri azmat pe lakho salam teri sabra behan Zainab pe lakho salam azadaro Karbala se sham tak aaj bhi choti choti qabre raste mein bani hui hai maloom hai qabron mein sone wale Zahra ke kya lagte hai ye choti qabre kin bachon ki hai jab ye qafila Karbala se chala maon ke haath gardanon ke piche bandhe the chote chote bacche maon ki godon mein the ye zalim ghooton ko daudate bachcha maa se kehta amma main gir raha hu maa kehti bacche mere baalon ko thaam le mere baalon ko pakad lo aakhir ye bachcha kab tak pakadta bacche ka haath chhootta maa kehti beta ऊंट के बालों को पकड़ लो, बच्चा ऊंट के बालों पे लटका हुआ, आखिर ये नन्ना सा बच्चा कब तक सब्र करता, बच्चे का हाथ छूटता, बच्चा जब जमीन पे गिरता माँ पलट के देखती किसी जालिम के घोड़े का कदम मेरे बच्चे के सीने पे है। अल्लाह अल्लाह, ये बीबियों ने ये मुसीबतें देखी। बीबी ज़ैनब इन दिनों में शायद शाम पहुंची, वो बीबी को कहाँ ले जाया गया, बीबी को शराबी के दरबार में ले जाया गया। हाय हाय, मैंने कह दिया आपने सुन लिया, ये कौन बीबी है? ये वो बीबी है जिनकी माँ का जनाजा रात की तारीकी में उठा था। ये वो बीबी है अली हसन से कहते हसन बेटा, जब ज़ैनब कुलसुम को नाना के रोजे पे ले जाना तो रात के वक्त ले जाना, और जब रोजे पे पहुंच जाओ चिराग को बुझा देना, कहीं किसी नामहरम की नजर ज़ैनब के कद पे न पड़ जाए। वही अली की बेटी आज शराबी का दरबार, कहाँ अली की बेटी, कहाँ यजीद का दरबार? यजीद ने देखा इन बीबियों के दरमियान एक जवान खड़ा है जो अपनी कमर सीधी नहीं कर सकता। यजीद ने शिमर से पूछा, हमने तो इनके सारे मर्दों को कत्ल कर दिया था, ये कौन मर्द है? यजीद से शिमर ने कहा, ये हुसैन का बेटा अली है। यजीद ने कहा, हमने तो अली को करबला में शहीद कर दिया। शिमर ने कहा, हुसैन को अली से इतना प्यार था, हुसैन ने अपने सारे बच्चों के नाम अली रखे हैं। किसी का नाम अली अकबर, किसी का नाम अली असगर, ये अली ये ज़ैनुल आबिदीन है। यजीद ने सैयद सज्जाद से कहा, ऐ सज्जाद, क्या तूने देखा कैसे खुदा ने तुम्हें जलील कर दिया? सैयद सज्जाद ने जलाल में आकर हैदर कर्रार के पोते ने कहा, जलील हम नहीं हुए, हमें शहादत नसीब हुई है, तुम कयामत तक के लिए जलील हो गए। जब यजीद ने यह सुना, यजीद गुस्से में आके कहता है, ऐ जल्लाद, इस जवान को कत्ल कर दे। बस आज़ादारों, जब ज़ैनब ने यह सुना ऐ सज्जाद कत्ल होने जा रहा है, ज़ैनब आगे बढ़ी, सज्जाद के सामने खड़ी हो गई, कहा, जब तक मेरे दम में दम है सज्जाद पे कोई आंच नहीं आने दूंगी। आज़ादारो, ज़ैनब ने सज्जाद की हिमायत की। जब यजीद ने देखा एक खातून आ गई, यजीद ने कहा, इस ज़ैनब को भी कत्ल कर दो। आज़ादारों, जब ज़ैनब ने यह सुना कि ज़ैनब को कत्ल कर दो, ज़ैनब शुजात के साथ खड़ी रही, मगर एक कोने में एक बीबी है जिसका नाम फिजा है। फिजा को जहरा की वसीयत याद आई। फिजा से जहरा ने कहा था, کہ اے فضا میں نے تجھے بہن کہا بھی بہن سمجھا بھی میرے بچوں کا خیال رکھنا. فضا نے کہا حسن کے جگر کے ٹکڑے میں نے دیکھے حسن کو نہ بچا سکی, حسین کی لاش پامال دیکھی حسین کو نہ بچا سکی. اب زہرا کی تیسری اولاد زینب قتل ہونے جا رہی ہے. فضا سامنے کھڑی ہو گئی, کہا نہیں یزید, جب تک میں زندہ ہوں میری شہزادی کو کوئی نقصان نہیں پہنچا سکتا. عزادارو ایک مرتبہ یزید نے کہا اس بوڑھی خاتون کو قتل کر دو. اب بی بی فضا نے چاروں طرف دیکھنا شروع کیا, 200 حبش کے سردار بیٹھے ہوئے تھے افریقہ سے, حبشی زبان افریقن زبان میں بی بی فضا نے کہا اے حبش کے سرداروں تمہاری غیرت کہاں ہے, تمہاری شہزادی ماری جا رہی ہے. 200 تلواریں نکل گئیں. یزید خبردار, یہاں خون کی ندیاں بہیں گی. یزید تو نے ہر کسی کی بیٹی کو علی کی بیٹی کی طرح لاوارث سمجھا ہے, ہماری حبش کی بیٹی لاوارث نہیں ہے. عزادارو زینب بڑی صابرہ بی بی تھی, مگر جب زینب نے یہ منظر دیکھا اب برداشت نہ ہوا, مدینے کی طرف رخ کیا. بابا نانا رسول اللہ, کنیز کو بچانے والے تو ہیں مگر تیری نواسی بے کس و تنہا ہے, کوئی تیری نواسی کو بچانے والا نہیں.
اللہ لعنت اللہ علی القوم الظالمین وسیعلم الذین ظلموا ای منقلب ینقلبون. بار الہ ہماری اس قلیل سی عبادت و قبول فرما, ہمیں توفیق طاعت اور عبادت عطا فرما, گناہوں سے دور رہنے کی توفیق عطا فرما, بزرگوں کو صبر اور استقامت عطا فرما, خواتین کو حیا اور عفت عطا فرما, جوانوں کو توبہ اور مغفرت کی توفیق عطا فرما, علماء کو زہد و نصیحت عطا فرما. باللہ جو بیمار ہیں حاجت لے کے آئیں, تمام بیماروں کو شفاء کاملہ اور عاجلہ عطا فرما, مقروض کے قرض کو ادا فرما, بے اولاد کو نیک اولاد عطا فرما, جن کے پاس اولاد ہیں صحیح تربیت کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. باللہ جو مومنین اور مسلمین جہاں بھی مشکلات کے شکار ہیں یہاں پہ ان کی مشکلات کو آسان فرما. اہل بیت کے چاہنے والے شام میں, عراق میں, یمن میں, افغانستان, پاکستان میں, جہاں بھی اہل بیت کے چاہنے والے ہیں, باللہ ان کی جان و مال و ناموس کی حفاظت فرما, ظالم جو ظلم کر رہے ہیں نیست و نابود فرما, زندگی میں زیارت امام زمانہ نصیب فرما, مرنے کے بعد مولا کی شفاعت نصیب فرما, باللہ آقا کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما, ہم سب کو مولا کے غلاموں اور مددگاروں میں شامل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم. جب دا سر سے چنی میں صدا دیتی رہی تو نایا بازی جب دا سر سے چنی
Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein.
Bazar-e-Sham aa gaya, Bazar-e-Sham aa gaya, Bazar-e-Sham aa gaya. Bazar-e-Sham aa gaya Akbar mere jawan kisko bulaye maa Bazar-e-Sham aa gaya Bazar-e-Sham aa gaya Zainab ki lo khabar Abid hai natwan Bazar-e-Sham aa gaya Bazar-e-Sham aa gaya Bazar-e-Sham aa gaya Bazar-e-Sham aa gaya Dasht-e-Bala ko chhod kar Khaak-e-Shifa ko od kar Ae Fakhr-e-Kibriya suno Kehti hoon haath jor kar Kaise chalegi maa Ae mere naujawaan Bazar-e-Sham aa gaya Bazar-e-Sham aa gaya Akbar mere jawan Kisko bulaye maa Bazar-e-Sham aa gaya Bazar-e-Sham aa gaya
Kismet ki paasbaan hai wo Khair-un-nisa ki jaan hai wo
Ghurbat ki intihaan hui Khairon ke darmiyaan hai wo
Shehzadi-e-jinaan Sehti hai saktiyaan Bazar-e-Sham aa Bazar-e-Sham aa gaya
Maine suni hai ye sada Maine suni hai ye sada Kehte hai Sham mein sabhi
Badla Ali ka lenge hum Binte Ali se aaj hi
Pathar se hi bhari Logon ki jholiyan
Bazar-e-Sham aa gaya Bazar-e-Sham aa gaya
Akbar mere jawan Kisko bulaye maa
Bazar-e-Sham aa gaya Bazar-e-Sham aa gaya
Ya Hussein Ya Hussein Bar Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad Salawat
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim السلام عليك يا رسول الله السلام عليك يا مولى علي مشكل كشا السلام عليك يا بيبي فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين السلام عليك يا بيبي خدية الكبرى أم المؤمنين السلام عليك يا إمام حسن المجتبى السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله الحسين ولا علي بن الحسين ولا أولاد الحسين ولا أصحاب الحسين خصوصا سيدي أبا الفضل العباس بن أمير المؤمنين وأختك زينب بنتك سكينة جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام عليك يا إمام زين العابدين السلام عليك يا إمام محمد باكر السلام عليك يا إمام جعفر الصادق السلام عليك يا إمام موسى كاظم السلام عليك يا إمام علي الرضا السلام عليك يا إمام تقي الجواد السلام عليك يا إمام علي النقي السلام عليك يا إمام حسن العسكري ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام عليك يا مولاي صاحب العصر والزمان الأمان 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 السلام عليك يا شريك القرآن السلام عليك إمام الإنس والجان أجل الله تعالى فرجك وسهل الله مخرجك وظهورك ورحمة الله وبركاته
محمد وعلى محمد Can we have a large salah for the Al-Asr kids please for Muhammad and Ali Muhammad Masali Allah Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad The Baruch for Gents will be served in the hallway. Any seniors needing assistance, please contact one of the volunteers or myself. Thank you.